On your Bibles, I want to turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In reading the Word of God, we all seem to put titles on our messages. We're going to teach or we're going to preach. We want to put a message on there that somehow will just touch somebody's heart. I've read the Bible only two times that I ever found where somebody gave a title to their message. And this is one of them. And the other one is Paul again when he was talking on Mars Hill, when he said he come across the subscription to an unknown God. And he said, that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, about the unknown God. Well, in this case, in verse number 7 of chapter 20, this is what Paul says. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That's a long message. He preached till midnight. But he preached the message titled, Ready to Depart on the Morrow. We want to talk to you today, this morning, on the subject, Are You Ready? Lord, we ask you, God, to be with us today as we go to your word. Touch our hearts, O God, draw us closer to you, Lord, that we can make sure, the God, that we're ready to go at that time, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We want to look at the Word of God, because the Word of God is very important. I know in my own life, I did not go to church. I had probably been in a church until I was 16, 17 years old, maybe 5 times in my life. Most of those times were for weddings. The only other time that I could remember, we went to church one time on an Easter Sunday morning. We lived on a farm way out in the country, and we drove into Rolla, which was the closest little community, to go to an Easter Sunday morning service. That's the only time that I can remember going to church. But I'm so glad that when you find Jesus, the reason to go to church, it becomes a little easier to go to church. And I can safely say I've been in the church for 50-some years now, and many, many times, you go to church 3 and 4 times a week and think nothing of it.
Right.
Because I want to be ready.
Right.
Jesus, and we're going to get into it. This is going to be a two-part lesson, because the first part, we're going to talk about what it takes to be ready. And then we're going to talk about what Jesus talked about being ready and some of the scriptures that go along with it. But first today, in this scripture, Paul, in talking with the disciples, they came together to break bread and just to talk, to preach a little bit about what God is doing. And in this situation, we find, we're going to read down through verse 12 of that chapter. It says, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I want to let you know, when the church, the early church, got together, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And just like in this situation, nobody would have ever thought that this is what's going to happen, because somebody's going to fall 3 stories out of a building and going to die. Mm-hmm. It says that there was many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man, Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Mm-hmm. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore had come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. Mm-hmm. We sometimes think we get in a long service if it's 2 hours, maybe 3 hours long. I will let you know, they were in a service for close to 12 hours. But when God is there, it makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And we find here in the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? If you're listening to the news at all and what's going on in the world, all I can say is, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Some of the stuff that is absolutely crazy, things that the situation that happened down in the States here just a couple days ago with the two young girls, both teenagers, and one was getting ready to knife the other one and to kill her, and the police happened to arrive at the time, and you know, what do you do? I would not want to be a policeman in the day in which we live. I honestly would not want to be a policeman. To be put in a situation, he arrives and there he is, this woman has got a knife up ready to stab it into the other girl's neck. And his decision was he pulls the gun and shoots the girl. The one girl. And saves the life of the other girl. And now, they've already, some of the basketball stars and some of the Hollywood people are putting on Facebook and on Twitter and that, and they're saying a bullseye on the back of this man's life and saying, you're next. All he did was take a decision and had to make a decision in 1 second. What am I going to do? Pulls a gun and shoots the one girl that's about to kill the other. And everybody is against him, saying that he should be charged. It's outright murder. Well, I'm telling you, we're living in a day when we need to know that we're ready to go to meet Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is still in control. Amen. Jesus is still the one that we look to.
That's right.
And he is going to win the
battle. Amen.
It seems like wickedness and evil is overtaking the world. Everywhere you look, it seems like there's no hope for the church. But I will let you know, the church wins.
Amen.
I've read the back of the book, and the church wins. In serving God for 54 years almost, I can safely say it's the best thing you can do.
Amen.
It's the best thing you can do. So the question, are we ready? You may ask, well, ready for what? Well, are you ready to meet Jesus? In our lifetime, it's probably the most important question that you can personally answer yourself. Are you ready? We don't know the day nor hour when Jesus Christ is coming back. And we will get into some of those scriptures a little later, probably in the second part of this lesson. But the situation comes down to this, that nobody can answer the question, but you yourself, are you ready? And so there's some questions that we can ask in regards to what God requires of us to make heaven our home. Where do I go to find out what is required to make myself ready? Where do we go? Who do we turn to? Where are those that have made themselves ready going? So we have to ask the question, well, if I'm making myself ready for something, where am I going? Mm-hmm. And the third thing, how do I know that I'm ready to go? And I want to say, If you haven't asked that question yourself, it's probably something we need to ask.
Yeah.
How do I know? Do I know? What is the thing that's going to get me to the place that I know where I'm going? Paul made the statement, and we'll look at the scripture later on, but this is what he said. He says, I'm ready. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, I know where I'm going. But he said, not only is it for me, but it's for everyone that follows God.
Right.
So we can all have that assurance that we can make heaven our home. But it comes down to, how do I make myself ready? What is the requirements? And where am I going? And how do I know I'm ready? Throughout life, we're going to face a lot of questions. And I'm sure that some of you this morning, when you got up, you know, are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready, yeah. Have you got everything ready? Yeah. Oh, I got everything ready. You know, many times we got on a school bus. We lived in the bush. It was out at the end of the road. And the bus used to pick us up at 20 minutes after 6 in the morning. And before we got to even have breakfast, we had to go do the chores on the farm. There was pigs to feed and chickens to look after and to feed and to collect up the eggs and that. And then we'd come in and get ready and everything was going. And Mom would always say, you got your lunch? You got your homework? Oh, yeah. And you run out to the bus drives and you run out and you climb on the bus and you get going down the road and you look and, I forgot my homework. I forgot my lunch. Now I'm going to starve because the bus don't get home till 5:30 in the afternoon. It's a long day. But the question was always, are you ready? I'm sure that, you know, you get going, courting one another. Are you ready to go? Yeah. And you get there, and if you're the guy, sometime if you're the girl, the guy takes a long time to get ready. I know one young man that takes a long time sometimes to get ready. He's not the fastest. He's smiling right now, but that's all right. But most of the time it's the girl. But, you know, you sit there and you wait. Because why? Because you want to know that you're going together. You're going to go to wherever you're going to dinner, you're going on a date, whatever it is. I remember many times, you know, we raised 3 kids. They're all in their, I don't know if Michelle's 40 yet, but
no.
Nope, not yet. Close to 40. So, many times, are you ready to go? We're ready to go to church. Are you ready? Well, the question that we want to explore today is the question, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet Jesus and spend eternity in heaven with him? And we're going to find out today within the Bible, because the Bible has the answers to every question that you have about God and about the church and about what God requires of you is found in the Word of God. And from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about man's fall, God's provision, talks about man's opportunity for salvation, and our hope and our promise from God of what God has promised us that we're going to get. So today we want to look into the Word of God, and if you got your Bibles, we want to first turn to Revelation chapter 19. We're going to start off with where we're going. Revelation chapter 19. We're going to start at verse number 6, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, And that's the voice of many waters. And that's the voice of a mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. The Bible talks about the bride and the bridegroom. The church is the bride of Christ. We, the people, are the bride. And the groom is getting ready to call us home to be with him. And he's going to call us to what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. The first thing we notice here is that, first of all, the wife has made herself ready. We have to be ready. When the trumpet sounds, there's no sound, no time to get ready. There's no time to say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I should have been living for you all along. No, we need to be ready when the trumpet sounds. Verse number 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So the first thing we find, that if we want to be a partaker of the marriage supper of the Lamb, if we want to rise to meet Jesus in the air, and we'll get to those scriptures later on, if you want to be there, there is some requirements that God has for us. Why would God want to require something? Well, he wants to take us to a place where there will be never, no more sin ever. He wants to take us to a place that's going to be the most beautiful place you could ever dream of. I've been to many places on holidays, and you know, I don't know if anybody's been to Hawaii. Have you ever been to Hawaii? It's a beautiful place, but it's not going to be nothing compared to heaven.
Right.
It's not going to be anything compared to what God's got planned for the church. But the only thing that God requires is that we're ready. So we have to look at what are the requirements. So in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12 through 14, John, again writing about what Jesus has told him to write, says this about being ready. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Mm-hmm. Again, and there's so many scriptures, and we're going to get into them in the second part of the lesson about heaven and things that talk about us going there. But in this one, he says, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the city. My Bible talks about a city four square that's coming down one day, and that we're going to go to be there. The Bible talks about a street of gold. I can't imagine a street of solid gold, but that's what the Bible talks about. Talks about walls of jasper and gates of pearls. I don't know about you, but I've seen some little pearls that were very, very expensive. And I can't imagine having gates of pearls. Mm-hmm. This city is going to be beautiful. This city is going to be absolutely the most gorgeous place you could ever imagine. And that's where God wants to come and take us to be with him. But all he requires is that you're ready. He says, I come quickly. My reward is with me. All you have to do is do his commandments. So in these scriptures, we find some important facts. The first fact we find is the Lord reigns. We look at what's happening in the world today. This is it. You turn on the news, go on Facebook, go on YouTube, go on any of those places. It is absolutely crazy what's happening in the world today. That, you know, we supposedly live in a free country. We do. Supposedly, we live in a free country. We were founded upon, our forefathers founded us upon some principles that gave the people rights. Yet, we don't see much of those anymore. Sister-in-law posted a little thing on this morning. I don't know where she got it from, but and it talks about all the different freedoms that we've lost. The freedom of going to church, the freedom of going to visit our grandparents, the freedom to go to the old folks' home to visit the old folks, the freedom to go and travel, the freedom, all those freedoms are taken away right now. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, don't go here, don't go there, stay within your cities, don't go outside your health section areas, and all kinds of things are trying to lock us down. And I'll be honest, they're locking us down, but they will never want to give up that control that they have. They'll never want to give it up because that's the devil, and the devil wants control. Mm-hmm. The devil wants control of your life, everything that you do, and God wants control. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we need to understand, if we're going to serve God, if we going to get ourselves ready to meet Jesus Christ one day, we're going to have to know that first of all, God reigns. God's in control. The second thing we knew, we need to be glad and rejoice and give him honor. I didn't know God. Farm boy and my little brother, he went off during the summer. I went off during the summer, went to work up north for a farmer. And we went up there for 3 months and we worked 12-hour days, 7 days a week. A little tiny cabin that we stayed in and we never got to go anywhere. And when I came back, my little brother was a little, wasn't a rebel, but he loved to party. And so when I drove into the yard on the farm and he was outside and I drove up and I said, get ready, we're going to town, I'm treating. Because I had lots of money. In those days, this is back in the late 60s, $100 was a lot of money. Well, I had a few thousand dollars in my pocket and I'm thinking, well, we're going to go and have a good time. And I still remember this little brother of mine that was the Rangy Tang, the one that got into a lot of trouble. And he looked right at me and he says, no, I'm going to church in the morning. And I'm like, no, something's wrong here because this little brother of mine didn't go to church. But unknown to me, he'd gone to a Bible camp down in Black Lake, Washington and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. The promise that God gives to every one of us, if we want it, doesn't tell us we have to have it. But if you want to go to meet Jesus in the air, you're going to need it. Well, I It was in the evening when we got there, and so we just stayed around the farm that night, went to bed, and got up in the morning. He got up and got dressed and went downstairs, and after he got up, I thought, I'm going to find out what's going on. Because this brother of mine does not go to church. And so I got up. I got the best clothes I had on, went downstairs, and he said, where are you going? I'm going to find out what happened to you. Well, I will let you know, we need to have that same desire. If we can find out what God's got for us, we need to go after it with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus has come to make us ready. I can't make myself ready. I need his help. That's why he says that all I need to do on my part, and we'll get into this down the road, is that we got to follow his instructions. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word will not lie. We also find out that we will be given fine linen to wear. And what it says the fine linen was, it was the righteousness. It's that holiness that we put on. We get that fine linen to wear because we need the wedding garment when we go to the wedding. You'll find that out down the road here when we get into some of the scriptures to talk about it. Jesus also lets us know that he's coming quickly. What did he say? Behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. The Bible does not tell us the day nor hour that Jesus Christ is coming. The Bible does give us some hints. As it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the day that Jesus returns. What were they doing? They were married and given in marriage and having a good time. Well, that's the way it's going to be when Jesus returns. Well, look at what's happening in the world today. And he also says that my reward is with me and you're going to receive according to what you have done. He says, I will give to every man according as his work shall be. You'll get what you deserve, is what God said. And so God wants us to get lots of good things. And the seventh thing that we find that's an important fact that we need to realize, we receive the right to the tree of life. What was the tree of life? The tree of life was the one that God set up in the garden in the beginning. God set two trees and he told Adam and Eve, you cannot eat of the tree of the good of knowledge of good and evil. But he never did say you couldn't eat from the tree of life. They never went to the tree of life. They ended up going to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they partake of that tree, which God had said, do not ever eat of that tree. And it cost them their opportunity to everlasting life. Sin entered. And so we have the right to that tree of life if we follow God's plan. So first, we're going to look at some scriptures because that's the best place to go. Deuteronomy chapter 30, back in the Old Testament. Chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. And this is Moses talking to the people of Israel. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. First thing that God tells Moses to write was that I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I'm going to set before you a choice. And that choice is the choice that I make, that you make. God does not make you serve him. I've learned long enough that somebody can tell you to do something, and it's your choice if you're going to do it or not. There were six of us in our family, five boys, one girl, and I was the third, so I was a little better than the younger ones, but my oldest brother had a way of making us do things. Because when mom said, go do your chore, when you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you want to play. You want to go and do what you want to do. Well, older brother got in the habit of, mom told us twice. She'd tell us once and we'd continue on doing what we wanted. She come along the second time and said it. Big brother came along. And big brother had this idea that if you twisted the ear enough, you would get the person's attention and he could lead you to where you were needed to go. And I will let you know, it happened. Because if you twist the ear hard enough, it hurts. And he would grab a hold of it, twist it, and he'd take you, if it was the garbage you had to take out, mom said, take the garbage out, take it out. Well, we learned. Well, God doesn't come along and make you do things. God doesn't come along and say, you need to repent of your sins. If you don't, I'm going to twist your ear. He doesn't come along and tell you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Doesn't grab us by the ear and takes us to the water baptismal tank and says, get in there, you're getting baptized. No, God says, you choose. It's your choice. I'm not going to stand here and make you do something you don't want to do. And that's the God we serve. God doesn't make us do anything. And I found that out when I come into the church. God doesn't make you do something. But oh, when you begin to feel the presence of God, when you begin to feel the love of God and understand what God's doing in your life, you want to do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
And you're the only one that can make the choice in your life's struggles and battles. And be honest, we all face problems. We all go through struggles and battles that we wish we didn't have to go through. But we choose. We choose whether we want to make heaven our home. And if we choose that we want to make heaven our home, then we'll choose to make ourselves ready to make heaven our home. We choose. We come to that place when the preacher says, you know, the Bible says you need to repent. Paul or Peter stood on the day of Pentecost, and when the men that Peter had preached the message about Jesus and how you had crucified the one that came to save you, and when he was finished preaching, they made this statement, men and brethren, what shall we do? The question was, what are we going to do now? Peter stood up and preached them the message of salvation that we have from 2,000 years ago and it still works today. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The promise. The promise that Jesus, as he stood there with his disciples in the upper room, just before he ascended up into heaven, and he says, you wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And they did. And that same promise is for us today. Mm-hmm. Not one of us needs to go without it if we want it. We can have it. So the scriptures tell us what we need to do. And in this scripture here, that Deuteronomy, as Moses, God was speaking through Moses to the people, he said three things that you need to understand. Verse number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. The first requirement that you need to do is learn to love God. You don't love the church building. Oh, the church building, that's the best place there is. No, I will let you know, it's you and your relationship with God that's the most important. You need to love the Lord thy God. And that thou mayest obey his voice. That's the one that we struggle with a lot. Because we look at and say, well, God, why? Why do I have to do all these things? I want to go out and enjoy life. I want to go out and enjoy the things. God never says you can't go and enjoy. You just have to put him first. God will allow you to do whatever you want. Just put him first. Love him. Obey him. And the third thing, that thou mayest cleave unto him. God has to become the most important thing in your life. He can't be second place. The Bible talks in scriptures, and we'll talk about some of those scriptures later on. How that, you know, how do I know that I'm ready to go? How do I know that I'm ready to meet Jesus? Well, there's some things that God talks about. And one of them is you can't serve two masters.
Right.
You can't serve the world and God at the same time. You got to make your choice. You choose. And he says that, and I like what he says after that. He says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. He's your everything. I would not trade anything for living and loving God. I would not want to go in back into what the world has to offer. I want Jesus because I want what the end result is. We live here, the Bible says, 70 years, 70 years, and by reason of excuse or whatever, we might live to 80. We might even live to 90. Some people even live to 100. But life ends one day. But there's an eternity ahead. And the eternity ahead, our decisions to make today determine where that eternity we spend. And the Bible tells there's only two choices. There's serving God, living for God, spending eternity with him, or spending eternity in the devil's hell. A place that God prepared for Satan and his angels. He did not prepare it for one person. But there will be a lot of people that will spend eternity in a hell because they chose not to serve God and chose not to live for God while they had the opportunity. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14 says this: For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Only thing that God requires of you or me is that we do what God says. That's all he says. Just do what I tell you. He said, this commandment which I command you is not hidden from you. It's not far off. Jesus stated in John chapter 3, he must be born of the water and of the Spirit. All we need to do is hear what God expects out of us and do it. Hear and do it. God's word is very close to us. Joshua chapter 24, the next book in the Bible, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says this. I will go back to 14 first. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which our fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. This is Joshua. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I don't care what you do. You have the choice. No one is going to stand on judgment day. And this is scriptures that we're going to see in the second part of this lesson. There is a judgment day coming. Every man, woman, and child is going to stand before God in judgment. Some are going to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of heaven. Some are going to hear the words, I don't know you, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. But the choice and the decisions that I make today are the things that are going to determine where I spend eternity. My choice, your choice. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You can serve whoever you want. God's not going to make you serve him. God wants you to serve him. God so desires that you serve him. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's our choice. I'm going to serve him because I want to serve him. Four things that we learn. The word of God always gives very clear direction as to the requirements of making ourselves ready to meet him. The word of God gives very clear directions as to the requirements of making ourselves ready. Second thing we'll find out, the choice is yours to make, and only you can make it. Third thing we'll find out, that we need to love God, obey his voice, and cleave unto him, because there's no other way to make it into heaven. So we're going to look at six scriptures. What are the requirements that we must meet to make heaven our home? What does God have to say in the Word of God? But what is required? You could say, well, that was something that you did back in your day. Well, I want to let you know I've been in the church pretty close to 54 years. Every person, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people receive their Pentecostal experience, and every last one of them have received it the same way that I received it. On a Sunday morning service at a little church in Dawson Creek, in the spring, it was about April or May, maybe March, April, but a preacher preached a message, and he was from Alaska, and he was going down to Washington or Oregon to a conference. And he stopped by the church in Dawson Creek and preached a message. And I don't even have my wallet with me, but he pulled out a bill out of his pocket, his wallet, and he just held it like this. And if you ever seen American money, you have no idea what it is, because they all look the same, whether it's a $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, they all look the same. But the numbers on them are a little different. I like the one that has 100 better than the one that has a 1. But all I remember is he stood there and he held it out and he said, "Who wants this?" And like if we said that, I'll answer for you guys. I would have thought, what's the gimmick? What do I got to do to get this? You're going to just give it to me? Sure, yeah, you got something up your sleeve. But there's a little boy that was sitting on the side over on this side. I was sitting in the back on this side. And I remember the little boy jumped up, ran up to the front, and he handed it to the little boy, and he says, "This is yours, sonny. Go sit down." And then he turned to the Word of God and he says, "That's how easy it is to get what God's got for you. You just got to want it." Well, let's see what God has in the Bible. The requirements that you need to have, and that's for every one of us. It was for me in my day. It's for everyone that I've seen get the Holy Ghost from the churches. Then I was in Dawson Creek, and then we were down in Vancouver for, well, New Westminster first, then in Vancouver, then we were back up into Dawson Creek, and then into Fort St. John, and back to Dawson Creek, and then we were here in the church here in Williams Lake. And everybody that got the Holy Ghost, got the promise of God, got it the same way. And so this is the instructions that God gives. So first of all, in John chapter 3, the book of John chapter 3, Jesus talking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And this is what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees, starting at verse 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." I can imagine, and put yourself in Nicodemus's shoes. He has come to Jesus because he says that, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. He knew something was different about Jesus, but he didn't really know what it was. So he comes to Jesus. Let's just say, I can be like Nicodemus. If somebody looked right at you and said, you got to be born again, the thoughts would be, right. How can you be born again? Just like he said, how can you be born a second time out of your mother's womb? But Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The very first thing that we have to understand, and it's hard, is that we don't want to do some things. We look at things and say, well, why do I have to do that? Why is that expected out of me? All I can say is, you got to do what Jesus says. Those that came to the marriage supper of the Lamb, what it had said, they had done his commandments. If you do what I tell you, then you're going to be part of that marriage supper of the Lamb. And the same thing here in the Word of God, Jesus is coming along and saying, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Plain and simple, he doesn't give us a choice. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11 says this. This is John the Baptist. And he made this statement. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus, speaking through John the Baptist, talking about John's going around baptizing people, and he's telling them that there's one coming after me. And he comes and finds Jesus in a couple verses later. It says, then come Jesus unto Galilee, to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized out of him. So we find that in John chapter 3, 1 through 7, we find out that Jesus says, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. But don't stand on judgment day. Don't stand there and look at Jesus and say, I didn't think it was important. It's not hard. It's not something that God says that, you know, you do this great miracle thing. What did the leper, he was the head of the army. He goes down to the prophet. Because of the little servant girl that was serving the master's wife. And the little girl says to the master's wife, says, oh, I wish the master would know about the prophet down in Israel. Because he could receive his healing. He was a leper. He was going to die. He was going to come to the place where he would not be able to be around other people. But when he came to the prophet, and the prophet said, all I want you to do, and the prophet didn't even come and talk to him. He just sent the servant out to him. And he said, all you need to do is go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times and you'll come up whole. And the man was furious. He was upset. And he took off with all the chariots and all the men that were with him. But one of the servants turned to him and said, "Master, if he'd have told you to go do some big thing, you would have went and done it. But all he asked you to do was just go dip 7 times in the river, and you would receive your healing." Well, Naaman the leper, he come to his senses, and he went down to the river, and he dipped 7 times, and it says the 7th time he come up out of the water whole. The choice is us in the decisions we make by what we're told to do. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke chapter 24 says this. Luke 24, 45 through 49. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the 3rd day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. Go and wait for the promise. John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 17. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verses 26 and 27 of that chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Find the promises. When we turn to the book of Acts chapter 1, we see the fulfillment of what Jesus is talking about in the Gospels. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 39. We look at these scriptures and say, well, it seems so simple. And really, it is simple. It's not hard to understand what God wants to do for us. And if we could only understand the love and the concern God has for each one of us. So I say that Sunday morning in Dawson Creek, 50 some years ago. I cannot explain to you the feeling as that preacher began to preach and talk about, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can have it today. I've been going to church. First time I'd ever gone to church was in probably September of the year before. But I'd been faithful going to church. I hadn't got the Holy Ghost, but I was faithful. But it wasn't until that guy just said, it's this simple. He just held out that thing. Said, who wants it? Who wants it? It's yours, if you want it. But see, sometimes we question God. We question that it sounds too simple. But it's not. It's the plan that God has for us. In verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Again, the question is, what do I have to do? Peter gives us the answer in the next verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repentance is just an understanding that I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. Every man, woman, and child born in this world is born in sin. The Bible says it. We were born in sin. And in iniquity were we conceived. So we're all sinners. And it doesn't matter whether you told one little white lie, or whether you committed a murder, we're all sinners. And Peter says, repent. Ask forgiveness. It's all repentance is. It's just, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's why the watery grave of baptism, the baptismal tank. When you go down in the watery grave of baptism, every sin that you ever committed in your life is gone. It's gone. It's not there anymore. If God was to look down upon you at that moment in time, he would see an absolute perfect person. But see, sin stains us. And that's the only way we can get the sin removed is in the watery grave of baptism. But he didn't stop there. And ye shall, not maybe, not possibility, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God doesn't stop short and say, you're not worthy. Everybody is worthy to receive. So what do I have to do to make heaven my home? Follow God's plan. In these scriptures, we find out what is required to make ourselves ready to meet Jesus Christ. We have to learn to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to repent of our sins, asking for forgiveness. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. And we need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit gives the utterance. That's the start. Then we must follow the instructions that Jesus gives us if we want to follow him. What do? I do what Jesus tells me. As we stand today, the choice is ours. The choice is ours. What do I do? I just do what Jesus tells me to do. I don't know about you. I want to make heaven. When I look at the two places that God talks about, one where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, torment forever and ever and ever. And then the other place he looks and says there's peace and joy. There's a street of gold. There's walls of jasper, gates of pearls. There's a mansion. I've never owned a home in this life. One of those things that being a minister, you're always on going somewhere. We started off in Dawson Creek, went to Vancouver, to New Westminster, was there for a couple years, then helped start the church in Vancouver. Then went from Vancouver back to Dawson Creek, and then we went up to start the church in Fort St. John, and then we went back to Dawson Creek, and then we came down to Williams Lake. And so I've never owned a home. Always rented. Had apartments that we managed and looked after for the last 30 years. But I got a mansion. I got a mansion coming one day. Amen. If I stay faithful to God and just do what God tells me to do. It's not hard. Oh, I'm giving up a lot from the world. No. I never gave up anything that I didn't want to give up. Because Jesus is worth everything.